Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23. Devahuti's Lamentation, Text 8. Anye purna bhagavato bruva ujvarimha vibram shitarta rachana kimurukramasya siddhasi bhunshva vibhavan nijadharma dohan divyan naraya durad digan ripa vikridabi. Kadama Muni continued, what is the use of enjoyments other than the Lord's grace? All material achievements are subject to be annihilated simply by a movement of the eyebrows of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By your principles of devotion to your husband, you have achieved and can enjoy transcendental gifts very rarely obtained by persons proud of aristocracy and material possessions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya recommended that the greatest achievement of human life is to achieve the grace of the Lord, love of God. He said, Prema Pamarto Mahan, to achieve love of Godhead is the highest perfection of life. The same perfection is recommended by Kardama Muni to his wife. His wife belonged to a very aristocratic royal family. Generally, those who are very materialistic or who possess material wealth and prosperity are unable to appreciate the value of transcendental love of God. Although Devahuti was a princess coming from a very great royal family, fortunately, she was under the supervision of her great husband, Kardama Muni, who offered her the best gift which can be bestowed in human life, the grace of the Lord, or love of God. This grace of the Lord was achieved by Devahuti by the goodwill and satisfaction of her husband. She served her husband, who was a great devotee and saintly person, with great sincerity, love, affection, and service. And Kardama Muni was satisfied. He willingly gave love of God, and he recommended that she accept it and enjoy it, because he had already achieved it. Love of God is not an ordinary commodity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipped by Rupa Goswami, because he distributed love of God, Krishna Prema, to everyone. Rupa Goswami praised him as Mahavadanya, a greatly munificent personality, because he was freely distributing to everyone love of Godhead, which is achieved by wise men only after many, many births. Krishna Prema, Krishna consciousness, is the highest gift which can be bestowed on anyone whom we presume to love. One word used in this verse, Nija Dharma Dohan, is very significant. Devahuti, as the wife of Kardama Muni, achieved an invaluable gift from her husband because she was very faithful to him. For a woman, the first principle of religion is to be faithful to her husband. If, fortunately, the husband is a great personality, then the combination is perfect, and the lives of both the wife and the husband are at once fulfilled. Anye punar bhagavato bruva ud vibrincha. Vibram shitarta rachana kimarukramasya. Siddhasi bungshva vivavan nija dharma dohan. Divyan naraya duradigan ripa vikritabi. Kadama Muni continued, what is the use of enjoyments other than the Lord's grace? All material achievements are subject to be annihilated simply by a movement of the eyebrows of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By your principles of devotion to your husband, you have achieved and can enjoy transcendental gifts very rarely obtained by persons proud of aristocracy and material possessions. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasthutyadesh Tarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vanchakapa Rivyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyevacha Padidhanu Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namona. So, here we are continuing the instructions of Kardama Muni to Devahuti. Instructions and offering of blessings, benedictions like that. He is talking, and Srila Prabhupada for that matter, in terms of the service of a wife to a husband and the benefits for the wife from that, provided the husband is a devotee, and particularly if the husband is a great devotee. In the previous verse and purport which we read yesterday, Srila Prabhupada, we saw, was applying the same principle, but also, or more so, in terms of the relationship with the spiritual master and the benefit of service to the spiritual master, how one gains, the disciple gains, from rendering service very nicely to the spiritual master. And this is the first thing we should really understand from this verse and purport is that this is all rendering service to the husband is highly beneficial for the wife, but particularly if the husband is a great devotee and or a devotee, and you could say to the degree, depending on how the husband is a devotee or to what degree he's a devotee. And in other words, it must be a spiritual arrangement in Krishna consciousness. Just like, anyway, this is the basic point here, and that from the previous verse we can understand that the principle is there in relation to the spiritual master. And it really is dependent on the spirituality of the relationship. Otherwise, if the relationship is not spiritual, then, well, we find in the ninth canto, we actually mentioned yesterday, we find in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the same sort of idea is expressed. The benefit to the wife of rendering service to the husband. And the verse there in that particular case says that in that way there's great benefit to the wife to serve the husband who is not fallen. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada goes to considerable lengths, actually, to clarify this point about service to the husband is beneficial if the husband is not fallen. The husband is fallen, then, again, it's all a question of degree, but the basic idea is that a husband, and even, it can be said, a spiritual master, at a certain point becomes fit to be rejected if or when they become fallen. So just the idea, I know it's a popular idea, it used to be a very popular idea, and it's still to some degree popular in Hindu society, that for a woman, the idea is serve the husband. Pati vrata. It's really traditionally in Hinduism, and even to, you know, to some degree to this day, that this is just so essential and important and valuable. But it is not a universal principle. It's definitely not a universal principle. And it depends on the condition of the husband. Or even, as we mentioned, it's applied in relation to the spiritual master. Depends on the condition of the spiritual master. It can happen, it happens, it has happened at least on some occasions, not just within our society of devotees, but in the history of devotees, the history of Krishna consciousness, even in the very broadest sense, that some people who were serving as spiritual masters became fallen. Their positions as devotees became quite compromised, and then what to do, what was done, what should be done, what was done, was that, well, at least first they tried to correct. But if that was not successful, then what must be done is rejection and accept another properly situated person. So these are very important things to understand, otherwise it can be very confusing. It can be confusing, obviously, for women in regard to, because this is just such a sort of foundational idea in Hinduism as it's developed. So it can be very confusing for women what to do. What to do with a husband who's just not really qualified to be as a devotee or even just as a husband, what to do about it. And of course it's confusing for disciples if that sort of situation should ever arise with them in relation to the spiritual master. The basic principle, there's a very, very basic principle which is there. And that very basic principle is service to superiors. It is very beneficial. Even we find in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, just recently was the appearance day of Lord Vamana, which is described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's quite a lengthy description over quite a number of chapters of different events which took place leading up to the actual appearance of Lord Vamana. There was a whole sequence of events, actually. And it began with two things, you could say. One was, Lord Indra offended Devasa Muni. then actually as things went on, Lord Indra offended Brihaspati too, shortly afterwards. Devasamuni is not the spiritual master, but he is an advanced sage, at least, mystical yogi type of person. Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods. But Lord Indra, well, he offended both of them. In the case of Devasamuni, if I remember correctly, Devasamuni, Lord Indra was riding on his elephant, Airavata. Devasamuni offered him a garland, which he, Devasamuni, had worn. So in other words, it's like prasad. But Lord Indra, when he received the garland, he didn't wear it. He put it on the elephant. And as we know, Devasamuni is very sensitive to how he's treated. You could say hypersensitive. And he reacted very badly. He got so angry. Then, sometime later, Lord Indra, am I right? If I'm right. Lord Indra was it? He was watching some, you could say, cultural presentation. In other words, watching the dancing girls. And Brihaspati came and Indra was informed of, your guru. Guru Maharaj is here, Brihaspati. And Indra said, well, just ask him to wait till the dancing is finished. And Brihaspati just didn't wait, he left. He left. And then afterwards, when the performance finished, Indra found out and he realized, oh, what an apparat. Did I get it right? I think it's something like that. In the meantime, the demons, the celestial demons, had worshipped their guru, Shukracharya, very nicely. Now, of course, Shukracharya is not a Vaishnava. Really. And the demons are certainly not Vaishnavas, quite the opposite. But Srila Prabhupada explains there quite clearly that just on the basis of this principle of service to the superior, service to the teacher even, we use the term guru. But in this context, regarding Shukracharya, the meaning of the word guru is not the same as how we normally use the term guru. Yeah. It means just teacher, superior in that sense, and not the Vaishnav spiritual master. So just on the basis of, on one hand, offending Devasamuni, who was not really a Vaishnav himself, but of course then Brihaspati, who is a Vaishnav. On that basis, the demigods lost their power and like this. But just on the basis of their service to their teacher, Shukracharya, the demons became very powerful. And actually, of course, we're talking about materially. But anyway, the end result was the demons attacked Indraloka and Indra was forced to flee. And then eventually Lord Vamana appeared in order to have him reinstated. But of course, the principle is one of service to the superior. And in our case as devotees, when we talk about superiors, particularly at least, we're talking about spiritual superiors. There is also some consideration for material superiors, like one's parents who may well not be devotees, particularly perhaps one's parents. So, but really, the essential and the main application for the devotees of this principle is the offering of respect and service to people who are spiritually superior. Which, in this context here, we're reading about Kardama and Devahuti. Kardama is spiritually superior to Devahuti, at this stage at least. Devahuti, by the mercy of Kardama, through following his directions, effectively through accepting him as spiritual master, actually, she also made great progress and became the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at the end, by the time the end came, she was qualified to go back to Godhead. Yes. But if her husband had been some ordinary fellow working in the factory in Maurice and not Krishna conscious and like this, then the result would have not have been the same. The result would not have been the same. Actually, the result of serving inferiors as superiors, supposedly one's serving them like they're superiors, but actually they're inferiors. The result of doing that is that one's position becomes reduced like the position of the inferiors. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj was telling me, I mean, I'm sure some of you at least have heard him say, how he was somewhere in India preaching and making people life members, and not just life members, but making them devotees. And he met one man who was a quote-unquote devotee of Sai Baba. Of course, an important point is, it's an interesting point at least, is that the term devotee cannot really be used correctly in relation to anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, you cannot really be a devotee of Lord Shiva in the terms of bhakti. You can be very dedicated to Lord Shiva in a materialistic sense, but in terms of bhakti yoga, devotional service, it's not really possible for someone to have bhakti for Lord Shiva. It's all karmakandya, actually. So, So Giriraj Maharaj was there somewhere in India, and he met such a person, and at least the way Maharaj told me was that the man was just like an ISKCON devotee in terms of his program. Did he ever tell you this story? No. In terms of his program, means he got up early, he had a Mangal Arati to Sai Baba. And then he chanted some japa of some sort for Sai Baba. Something like, oh, I don't know, something Sai Ram or whatever, some mantra like that. Then he did some other arti. Then he offered food to Sai Baba. Then he had Sai Baba kirtan. And then through the whole day, he was just doing things for Sai Baba. And whoever he'd meet, he'd tell them about Sai Baba. So like that, he was just like an ISKCON devotee, except it was all for Sai Baba. So Maharaj said he went to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, what will be the result for this man? And Srila Prabhupada made it very clear. The result will be that he will go to Sai Baba. You know, and of course the question then I guess would be, where's Sai Baba going? But according to Sri Ishapanishad, he's not going to a very good place. Because he's a blatant misleader. Blatant misleader of people. Although actually, Maharaj also told me that one day he met Sai Baba. Did Maharaj tell you about that? Yeah. One day he met Sai Baba personally, face to face, and had a little brief discussion. And Sai Baba was kind of favorable to Krishna consciousness, and he'd heard of Prabhupada, and he spoke, you know, appreciatively. Okay, anyway. But on the other side, there's like an ocean of disqualification, unfortunately. And at least in principle, Ishapanishad makes it clear that people who are spiritual misleaders, they go down. Yes, so service to superiors, depending on in what way they're superior, and in what ways they're superior, and to what degrees they're superior, they're very beneficial in that they elevate materially, or in our case as devotees, of course, spiritually. But service to inferiors degrades. At least if one serves inferiors as if they were superiors. Of course, in one sense, we are serving everybody by distributing Krishna consciousness, but that is a different application of the principle of service. Yes. So, and therefore in that sense, it's actually recommended that if a wife has a husband who really is fallen, then actually she should reject him. She should reject him. Yes. So, in our contexts, the principle is there, first and foremost, in relation to the spiritual master. In the previous verse and purport, Kardama Muni and Srila Prabhupada made the point that because Kardama Muni was a great devotee, very great devotee, and because Devahuti was going to simply serve him, simply through her service to him, putting aside any other considerations of how she may have developed spiritual qualities and really become a very good chanter of Hare Krishna, and really developed humility and In other words, just without even considering her own efforts to advance as a devotee, but simply looking on the fact that she rendered service to Kardama Muni, who was more advanced, Prabhupada said, and I just noticed it again a few minutes ago, Prabhupada said, by the grace of Kardama Muni, Devahuti experienced actual realization simply by serving. We get a similar example in the life of Narada Muni. He served the great devotees. So simply by serving, of course, Devahuti, she actually became a great devotee. Not that she was simply serving Kardama Muni, but she was progressing in Krishna consciousness herself. So advancement was coming from that. But simply based on the fact that she served Kardama, who was a great devotee, she made advancement and she actually came to the perfectional platform. So we see that also in the case of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, in relation to his own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada explained he did not have much association with his spiritual master. Prabhupada said he was only present in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta maybe about 10 times. He was not living with him or, you know, on a very regular basis associating. Prabhupada said only about 10 times. And Srila Prabhupada said he only ever asked his spiritual master ever one question. And that was, how can I serve you? So Srila Prabhupada, his example is there also. He served his spiritual master very faithfully. Of course, he also became a great scholar of our Vaishnava literatures, very great scholar, and endeavored in so many ways. But the underlying principle always was the idea of simply being the servant of the spiritual master. Even Srila Prabhupada said about himself that I'm not a great scholar and so on like that, and emphasized this point that all I've done really is execute the order of my spiritual master. This is all I've really done. So this is the main factor, and we should understand that. That despite any other qualifications or despite anything else we may do, the main thing which is going to help us in our lives in Krishna consciousness is really developing the mood and the way of life of the servant of the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. I was reading on Vyasapuja, I think it was Prabhupada's Vyasapuja Day. I forget the exact words. But someone said, service, faithfulness to Srila Prabhupada is the main thing. When we look at another devotee and we want to understand who is this devotee and, you know, as a devotee, who is this devotee? Then we should look and see, what is the faithfulness of this person to Srila Prabhupada? And then the devotee who was saying all this said, everything else is just detail. It's just, you know, secondary. But really what we want to see is faithfulness to Srila Prabhupada, that service to Srila Prabhupada, everything else, okay, that's nice. But without that, service to Srila Prabhupada, everything else is just a distraction, really. They may be erudite, they may be austere, and they may be whatever it may be. But if they're not faithful to Srila Prabhupada, then all those things really just distract us from the main issue of what it means to be a devotee, which at least in our cases, and even in general in life these days, means to be a serious follower of Srila Prabhupada. So, as a result, Devahuti became such a great devotee, she became the mother of God. And as a result of her devotion to her great devotee, spiritual master, Kardama Muni, she herself developed love of God, prema pamarto mahan. This is the only thing which is really of value. Anything else we may acquire through any other process and which is not Krishna conscious and which we can't use in Krishna consciousness, it's really just a distraction and is worthy of being put aside. As Kardama says, what is the use of enjoyments other than the Lord's grace? What is the use? First of all, there's no use. And even if there is some use in a material sense, those things can be eliminated in a moment, he says, just by a movement of the eyebrows of Lord Vishnu. Just like that. Even the greatest kingdom, etc., can be lost in an instant just by a movement of the eyebrows of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one is really a dedicated servant of the spiritual master, or of the husband if he happens to be actually a great devotee, then the benefits of that will never be lost. Even at the time of the destruction of the universe, the benefits of that will never be lost. And rather, one will always be beyond the influences of the material nature completely and ecstatically situated in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes.
Right. You observe in certain cases in the emotions itself, because certain Mataji's devotees who got married, someone who is not Krishna conscious, then in their cases, is it the progress is constant or whether they lose certain benefits?
It depends on what is the condition of the husband. If he's really fallen, just like degraded, including anti-Krishna consciousness, and just otherwise just a useless person, sort of, then, well, it's really going to be very difficult and very bad for the wife in all respects. But even if he's not a devotee, but he's tolerant and he's sort of like a gentleman and allows her to practice Krishna consciousness nicely, then, you know, then it may be acceptable enough. Because, see, the thing is that for a wife or a husband, if somehow or other they either reject or somehow they just lose, in whatever way it might be, their husband or their wife. In many cases, they'll have to remarry. Have to, in the sense, they won't be able to live nicely without that sort of shelter. They themselves may become bewildered. They themselves might become degraded because they still have material desire. It happens to some. So then it's a question of how detrimental the relationship with the existing husband really is. And if it's not too detrimental, if he's not just too fallen and degraded, then it may be a matter of, as they say, making the best use of a bad bargain. Or there's famous saying, a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. Or, a blind husband, a partially useless husband, may be better than no husband at all. Because then she may become sort of, her whole situation may become compromised. Or even if it's a husband, if his wife somehow, maybe she just dies. Or runs off with someone, these things happen. So, but the point is that there is a certain point in the case of the husband or even the wife where, degradation may set in so badly that it becomes necessary to at least separate, completely separate. Particularly if the husband somehow or other becomes violent and it becomes truly dangerous to continue on, what to speak of it being a distraction from Krishna consciousness. Ladies, any comments or questions? This is your team or part of your team?
Okay.
Good. Very nice. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Aye.